2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great. University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
Hello, all you Utah Jazz fans out there and the rest of you. Thanks for being a part of the program. KSL's unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. Yes, they did it. Scott, Jazz get number one, game number one yesterday.
Yeah,
it's
amazing.
A massive deal.
It was great. And I think a part of it is there's a thing about too much time off. And I think it has more impact on a younger team because the Jazz relatively young.
Yes, I agree.
I think that has something to do with it.
We're going
to
break all this
rusty,
down.
Rusty.
I'm interested to see because there's also talk about whether you're rusty. And the rest part, and the Clippers, of course, then the excuse was that they were super tired after that Game 7 push, of course, the 2 days before that. That's where we're going to start things off here. It is the 7:05 cut, so let's do it.
The cut at 7:05. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. It's 7:05. Here's what made the cut.
Donovan comes off the pick. Luke Kennard is now guarding. Kawhi Leonard brings the double. Donovan goes away from it. Drives with the right hand to the rack and scored it. Oh, Donovan Mitchell, you are marvelous.
Hear old Ron Boone in the background. I love that life.
That's
listen.
About all Ron Boone gets to say.
You get that. You hear that thing. So, yeah. Brought to you by Wasatch Medical Clinic, by the way. Struggling with ED, sick of pills, visit wasatchmedicalclinic.com for a free offer. I just love that call because that layup when he went up and that he just no one was near him. Like, he just burned everybody. He toasted that entire Clippers defense. That second half was so different from the one that we saw, Scott. There was so much going on. Everybody was waiting for there to be a leader to emerge. And Donovan Mitchell, after the game, said that needs to be him going forward without Mike Conley.
You know, for me, just kind of come out there and send the tone, especially without Mike, you know, where you can kind of get off the ball, understanding that, you know, they got two guys who can really guard. So trying to make sure we continue to attack and keep them on their heels. That was really pretty much my mindset.
Well, going into the game, that's what you want to see. This is where your legacy is made, and you want to see your superstar player step up. And Donovan Mitchell did big time. And the regular season's one thing, right? But it's finishing out games. It's finishing out the playoffs. All these games are going to be like this. They're going to be a battle. It's going to be a fight all the way through. There's going to be ebbs and flows in everything that happens. But the clutch players, the people that are remembered, the people that are revered, the people that people buy their jersey number are the ones that do it. And the reality is the superstar from the Jazz did it and the superstars from the Clippers didn't. I mean, that's bottom line.
When you see Kennard was leading the Clippers in points, and you go, something's wrong here, right? Where you go, the Jazz are, but on top of all of it, the Jazz had one of the worst shooting stretches that we've ever seen. To go 0 for 20, 0 for 21 in that first quarter, to miss 21 shots in a row, I think a lot of teams pack it in. And I think that go, you know, I don't know how, and this is something that I want to ask you a little bit later when we chat with Boyd Matheson next hour, is about I don't know how you get to that point where you go, you know, we're going to be able to turn this thing around. That halftime speech, what that looks like, what that turns into. Then there's the part where you have these guys like Donovan who they see the film. They know exactly what they've done wrong. They know exactly the problems that they had. They had open looks in the first half. They didn't make them. They had those open looks in the second half, and they played better defense. Here's what Donovan said about trying to make himself better as well.
You know, I had a terrible turnover with 49 seconds left at half court. Stupid pass, like stuff like that. Like for me, it's like, okay, how do I kind of manipulate the game? I did it against Memphis, and I got to be able to do it now. You know, and I did an okay job of it. You know, and I think I can be better. And I think I'm gonna probably see that matchup a lot more. You know, and just understanding that, you know, he's first team on defense for a reason, and I got to go out there and just have him extend my end game and not just necessarily attack to score, but attack to create.
Do you think that? I mean, like, did you? I mean, that pass was so bad at the end, and I thought, oh, my goodness, what is going on here? But I loved what he said about, I have the ability to manipulate the game. There's a lot of guys who go, I don't want to take that role on. He does. Yeah, he wants to take that role on.
What I really like about Donovan Mitchell is he just continues to evolve. Like, you just haven't seen the ceiling. And I think he recognized that. He goes, I got in that situation. It was maybe a new situation. I know how to handle it different in the future, and he will. You've seen him every playoff from his rookie year. How he really took the team on his back as a rookie. He got into the playoffs, and his game just wasn't complete enough to make a difference. And of course, the team wasn't maybe as supportive or as good as it is now. So he got better, the team got better, and he just continues to evolve. A year ago, here he's scoring 50 plus points in game after game in the playoffs, and you go, wow, that's a new look, that's different. And now he's figuring out, how can I take, like you say, how can I manipulate the game? How can, by my play, I can find a way for us to win? And that's part of that evolution. And I get excited. I marvel at it that, you know, he's continuing to be a better player. And you just have to wonder, you know, where is the ceiling? Because he just keeps pushing and pushing the bar higher and higher.
I didn't even think about this last night when it was happening, but I thought about it this morning when you wake up and you remember, you know, when you do that thing where you wake up and you go, oh, they did win. Yes. That's like,
right.
It's like,
yeah,
a massive load off. Isn't
it's
it?
A great,
like,
feeling.
Where,
yeah,
you go, oh, thank
the
heavens.
Jazz, did, yeah.
Oh, it wasn't a dream or whatever. But when they lose and then you remember that next morning, it is. It's just that little thing that twists on you and you go, ah, that was garbage. That was a terrible game. Here's what made it amazing, though. Here's the thing I thought this morning was, they did it in front of the 18,000 plus.
Yeah.
Like, they haven't had a game like this in a while, right? Where it's like close and they come back and they have to do this thing. Fighting back. The team that had the biggest win deficit all season long, the Jazz beat teams to a pulp if they were beating them. And then if they got behind, it was hard to come back. And in a game like this, I feel like character's made a lot in these types of moments. I know it's cliche, but it's exactly where these guys can kind of make the most of being down, coming back. And that fortifies you for going forward. You're going to have these same games going forward the rest of the playoffs.
I think that first round loss was a great wake-up call for the Jazz, and I think it probably helped them in this game, where they'd had the long layoff. They could tell, look, our legs aren't quite under us. We're missing a lot of shots. We'll get better as this series goes on. But I think they said, we got to do something now, or we're going to end up just like we were in the series before. And that's that experience part. You go through it and you figure it out and you figure out how to do it better the next time. Because Charles Barkley said probably the smartest comment I've ever heard Charles Barkley say. And he just said every playoff game is an island.
But it was in response to something too.
Well, it was in response to Shaquille O'Neal going, hey, look, the Jazz played the best game they could possibly play. And they barely won, and Kawhi and Paul George played terrible.
And they barely won.
And the Jazz barely won. And Charles said, look, every playoff game's an island. It doesn't matter.
What does that mean?
It just means that it doesn't mean any impact on the future of this series.
Right.
Like, you know, well, like Kawhi and Paul are going to play better now, right?
Right.
And that's not, you know, that's not – it. This game isn't necessarily indicative
but
of the whole series.
But they probably will.
I mean, look at the last series. The Jazz were They were garbage that first game.
They will probably play better.
Of course they will.
And guess what? The Jazz make adjustments.
So will the Jazz. Mike Conley will come back in this series. I mean, there's all kinds of things that are gonna change. Some you know, I mean, you had Jordan Clarkson play better than maybe he did. You know, it wasn't.
But he was terrible in the first half.
Right.
And so what are you going to do? I mean, the tale of the two halves is interesting because, yeah, he showed up in the big moments. Donovan, who had an air ball or massive bricks in the first quarter at the three-point line, suddenly they start falling. Not by accident, but because they dial back in and go, got to wake up here. My smart son pointed out very keenly after the game.
Is that like smart? What electronic device is that? My smart son?
Yeah, it's an electronic kid that watches a game with you. He turned to me and he said, Dad, Donovan Mitchell averages 45 points in this series. And I said, I guess he does. He has one game. 45 points. He's currently averaging 45 points. I said, you're a stat hound, son. He goes, hey, you prove me wrong.
You know what that is right there?
What is it?
That's the precursor to a dad joke.
Oh, yeah. He's
starting young.
He's got it.
Hey, Donovan Mitchell averaging 45 points a game.
I know. I go, where's the catch? In this series.
Yeah.
Against the Clippers, by the way. He's averaging 45 points against the Clippers. That's where we're at in our – and you know – when they do win, you'll laugh at the dumb jokes like that because he's a smart kid. He loves basketball. And it was just so much fun. It was one of those community wins that we all share together. It's very fun. So let's take the break here. We'll come back. What the Clippers are saying about that loss, already talking about some of the adjustments they're going to make. Apparently, they're not worried. I mean, look, it is an early series, but the Jazz have won 5 in a row, okay, going back to that first loss that they had in the playoffs. And that goes for something. Let's take the break here. Come back. More to go right here on KSL's Unrivaled on KSL News Radio.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.